Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, Mary B. of MaryBConjure.com in Sudbury, Massachusetts. Together, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Ms. Kat and Conjurman Ali. Ms. Kat?
Hi, Ms. Tammy Lee. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great, ma'am, and welcome back. It's so great to have you back.
Yeah, it was a quick 1 week off, but I'm glad to be back, and I want to start by giving a great, great thanks to those who handled the show while I was gone. You all did a great job, and I couldn't do it without a team here. Everyone thinks this is Kat because I've been the host of the show longest, I guess, but Ali, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, I got to just thank you for organizing it for last week and getting it all together, short notice. And, you know, you are a real good guy. That's all I'm going to say. Okay.
Thank you. And, you know, couldn't have done it without Ms. Tammy Lee, but we are definitely glad to have you back.
Yeah, well, thank you. All right, well, I've got some news, and some of you who follow me on Facebook or follow the shop's posts on Facebook will know about this already, but I just want to let you all know. This next week, we are having some big changes at the shop. Some of them are already underway, but we didn't talk about them until we got them all in place. Sister Robin Peterson, who has been our shop manager for a number of years, she started off as a lab worker. She has been an incredible developer of the shop manager position. There was a lab manager before her, but there never was a shop manager. In other words, she's taken it all in, brought her organizational skills to everything. She helped us make our transition from having our inventory not completely databased. We had our clients database back from the 80s, but our inventory database developed under Robin, and we have to really thank her for that. She also has been the one who led the Conjure Cook-Offs and Recipe Roundups. She presented at the Lucky Mojo workshops that we've done, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is done with Missionary Independent Spiritual Church. She has always been a wonderful cook and has also cooked for all of our birthday parties. When we did the apprenticeship program, she's the one who puts together the apprenticeship dinner. She has been just an amazing person. She is also the one who's, when I have to go on the road and can't take the dog, she's the one who takes care of Sophie. We call her Sophie's auntie. And so Robin will be leaving us. And I had to tell you all how important she's been to us. And for such a long time, about 6 years. And she's going on medical leave, and she's okay. I've already had some people like, is she okay? Yeah, she's okay. Don't worry about it. That's why she's going on medical leave. Everything's okay. It's okay. But we really, really wish her all the best and love her so much. She prepared the way for her going by announcing it early and training her replacement.
Yeah.
And her replacement is Heidi Simpson. Now, a lot of you guys will know Heidi in the shop as the current lab manager. Heidi's actually been with us longer than Robin. She was a lab worker. When Robin moved into shop manager, Heidi became lab manager. And Heidi is now moving up to shop manager. And Robin has trained her, has showed her all the ins and outs, where all the inventory is stored, everything. I mean, she's really been, they've been working together like two little sisters all day, every day that they've been at work for the last few weeks. And Heidi, of course, moving into shop manager, that leaves a laboratory manager opening. And so Alicia Cashaw, who has been a lab worker for a number of years, she's taken on Heidi's old job. She's now the lab manager. So that's a big change. Now, working under her are Nikki and a number of other people who are lab workers who are partially trained or trained to do certain things. But in order to fill the spaces that are missing, we have had to bring in two more people. So I'll get to them in a minute, because the other person who's leaving, and this is really a different situation entirely, but it just happened to come at the same time, so we were able to hire two people to fill these two vacancies. Apollo Dark is leaving Lucky Mojo. Now, that doesn't mean Apollo Dark is leaving Conjure by any means. First of all, I got to say that to people. Again, I got an email, what happened to Apollo Dark? No, he's actually doing so well, and you all know him. He's been on the radio show. He's a member of AIR, Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. He's a member of Hoodoo Psychics. He's all over Facebook. Check him out, Apollo Dark. He has decided that working at Lucky Mojo, while it was a good foundation, working a 9-to-5 job 5 days a week, and taking readings and then working for clients in the evening and being on a Hoodoo Psychics, it just was too many hours. So he has decided his career has blossomed. He's leaving Lucky Mojo. So he still lives right down the road from us, and we're still real good friends. No hard feelings there at all. In fact, we know we'll be in touch with him and continue to work with him and continue to have him as a guest on the radio show. But he has reached a stage of his career where he just needs to do what he needs to do. So what I say to Apollo Dark is, you know, it's like the eagle says, you know, to the baby eagle, go fly. Baby eagle takes off. And I think he is an eagle. He will fly high. So that's what's happening to him. So that meant we had to bring in two people. Well, and Apollo, I have to say, Apollo was our jack of all trades. When he worked in the shop, he did order entry. He did order pulling. He knew how to pack and ship. He's a tarot card reader. He could unload a box of candles. If you needed it done, he could do it. He helped us lay out our labyrinth. I mean, you know, Apollo's just a guy who's very versatile. And so we've hired two people, and I want you to know who they are. Melissa, and I'm going to mess her last name up, Damasauskas. It's a Greek name, Melissa Damasauskas, and Angela Sharp Sabatino. Okay, those are our two new people. Now, they're starting in.
Welcome to both.
Yeah, welcome to them. They're starting in on the pulling and packing. Now, we recently also had two other new people join us, Donna Starr, and I think I mentioned her on the show, and Bo Maldonado. Now, Bo is doing mostly groundskeeping work. We got a big property here, and he has moved into a position that was vacated when Don left us. So Bo is mostly doing outside work. Donna Starr is working on the pulling and packing floor also. Now, when people get hired by Lucky Mojo, and people wonder about this, because there's, oh, it's my dream job, but they never do show up because they live someplace else. So for people who need to know, how do you work at Lucky Mojo? Every person who is hired to work at Lucky Mojo has to take my Hoodoo Rootwork Correspondence course. They have to graduate, and they have to do it at an accelerated speed. I coach them through it and get them through done. They have to take my personal hands-on apprenticeship training. When they finish each stage of the apprenticeship, they then are qualified to make those products, although they don't make the formulas, you know, the oil recipes. I do all the formulating, and then they just, you know, put the pieces together. They know how to pray. They know how to package. They know how to do everything. So that's who's in the lab. And so Angela, Melissa, and Donna will be trained for the lab eventually. But we're right now, it's going to be an interesting situation because we're just going to move them up as quick as we can. And, of course, the first thing that people start with is herb packaging. Right, that doesn't take a lot of training. You just have to know what the herbs are and how many ounces go in a bag. So, and how to fold a bag and seal it. So that's what's happening right now at Lucky Mojo. And I just want to let you all know, we are very much caught up on orders. Robin prepared for this so perfectly. We're filling orders 24 hours out, and we're shipping, you know, within 24 to 72 hours, depending on what day of the week it is. So things are going very well, and I just want to let you all know about that. So that was the news from here, a lot of news, and we're you know, eager to get through the new year. As the new year starts, we're going to be training these new workers and having them be more involved in customer service and stuff. But if you come in the shop and you see some new faces, that's what's happened. All right. Well, I just wanted you to know about that. Okay. So what have you been up to, Ollie?
Oh, you know, it's been busy, busy, busy. Not as many changes as Lucky Mojo is going through. Congratulations to all the people that are, you know, transitioning up and moving up, and welcome to the new people over there. For me, it's all about the end of the quarter. I have a couple of weeks off from academia, and so now it's catch-up time with all my root work with clients. This has been particularly the time for people getting life readings, you know, and it makes sense. The end of the year and the beginning of the year is only in a couple of weeks, and so people want to know what 2014 has in store for them. So I've been doing a lot of life readings, whether it's tarot life readings or geomantic life readings. But it's interesting because life readings often take me a lot longer than a regular reading does. Most readings are 30-minute readings, 45 to an hour. But a life reading usually takes me, you know, an hour and a half, because there's so many different aspects of a person's life that we go into, money, love, and things like that. So it has been quite the time for life readings, and it's a good thing. I'm very excited to provide that service. And so far, I can say, just as the general trend, 2014 is looking to be a very interesting year for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of changes going on, I'll tell you.
A lot. Oh, yeah.
Well, I hope the weather down where you are is a bit warmer than it's been up here.
Cold winter, it really has. But you know, I enjoy cold winter.
We lost some potted plants in that first freeze. I didn't follow through. I said to somebody, "Hey, bring in all the potted plants," and they brought in some of the potted plants, but the other potted plants they didn't bring in, and we lost a whole lot of begonias. I was very sad. Some of these begonias we've kept going, you know, 10, 15 years. So. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's a begonia breeder, we're looking for donations. Started plants.
It's been actually, you know, people often talk about Southern California being very warm, or California in general being really, really warm. But it's been a cold winter for us, I would say. So
yeah, it has been. It has been. Well, that's a you know, I always like to keep track of how different we are from you, because you're just a few hours drive south of us, but sometimes it's a whole world different.
No. It really is, yeah.
Now, our guest today is Mary B. And Mary B., I'm just going to announce here, has never been on the show before. Member of AIR and member of Hoodoo Psychics, and has been in this chat room in the Blog Talk Radio many a time. And Mary B. is also a longtime contributor to the Lucky Mojo Forum, which is at forum.luckymojo.com. So many of you people know who Mary B. is, but she's never been on here before. So I want to welcome you, Mary B., and hello.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Now, your weather, you're out there in...
Oh, Lord, don't get me started. we've had about 10 inches of snow in the last 24 hours, so...
Oh, no.
Oh, my
gosh. I take back, you know, we don't complain about winter over here then.
Indeed.
Well, Mary B., first of all, since you haven't been on the show before and not everybody knows about your background, why don't you tell us a little bit about you? I mean, I can say what I know, but you can present yourself probably better than most could. And
okay.
Who are you? How did you get into hoodoo? What got you interested in African-American folk magic, and why are you practicing?
Well, the short story is that I was pagan for a number of years in my
We got it. Let me just break up here, because people on the who are currently in the live chat, they can see your picture. Those listening later, let's just say you are Caucasian. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. So you've been interested. Okay.
I've been interested. I found out about it. I actually was a customer of Lucky Mojo for a while before I took the course. And I found the products to be so wonderful that I just kept using them. And then what actually the impetus was for me to get into root work formally was that I was actually crossed up at my old job. A woman put a root on me, and it really led to a lot of havoc in my life, and so I resolved to never have that happen again. So I moved away from Florida, where I was living, lived there for a while. And I had been exposed a little bit to African-American Southern beliefs from living in the South for 18 years. Then I moved back up here to where I am originally from, and I started taking your course and loved it and graduated and started building my business. I had been a card reader for, about 10 or 11 years at that point, because I've been reading cards since my early 20s. So I kind of combined the two, and here I am.
So now you came into this, you were a pagan, you said, and I know you've also mentioned that you serve the Loa and are in some connection to the voodoo religion. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm not a pagan anymore. I found Haitian voodoo, or rather the spirits found me, and I've been serving them ever since. So I am a member of a house, a voodoo house here in the Boston area. And so I've been serving them for about 4 years, and it's a really beautiful, positive thing.
Wow. So, but I also know that you have, I know you've also worked with Christian elements in your work, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you keep it real and traditional as far as hoodoo's concerned. I know you don't make your black customers from Georgia have to go and find a Loa, right? I mean, they
oh,
can,
no, no, no. I
they can pray
separate.
To Jesus when they come to you, right?
Sure, absolutely. I still have a lot of fondness for Catholicism. That was my birth religion. So Christianity is still a big part of the hoodoo that I practice. I really believe it's at the root of it, pardon the pun. And so I think that it's important to, when you're going to go into a particular magical practice, to really remember the roots. Don't add to it. Try not to take away from it. And, you know, otherwise, if you took the African-American Protestantism out of hoodoo, it wouldn't be hoodoo anymore.
Yeah.
So I think
remembering
that is just a matter of basic respect for the tradition.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. Well, I have known you a long time, always been pleased to work with you. You have a particular interest and gift for healing, and I know you've picked that as our panel topic for this time.
Yes.
You have experience in healing work. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm a nurse by trade, and so ever since I became a nurse about 7 years ago, I've always, you know, not always in an overt way, because, you know, people can, if they're not believers in this and you just start whipping out mojo bags and oils in a hospital setting, people are going to look at you funny.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is that there are so many ways of healing magic and healing spirituality throughout all traditions, and working with a diverse population that I've worked with, you wouldn't believe how many different ways of healing magic are in every different tradition. I've seen, with my work in the community, I've seen Chinese and Japanese and Thai and Haitian Creole and from the Caribbean islands, from the north and the south. And it's really interesting to me to see the commonalities of all of those healing practices and the differences. You learn a lot. I really have learned a lot.
So that's an interesting thing, that because you work in a healing profession as a nurse, and you also, I would say to a large extent, I know I send clients who want healing work done to you, and you're known for that in hoodoo, but you also get it from, as you said, from all of those different kinds of people who might step into the hospital. You'll see what they're doing, Vietnamese healing,
exactly.
Philippines healing. Yeah, that's fascinating. You might want to write a book about that, you know, worldwide healing practices. That's an interesting idea.
That's a really good idea. I just might
do
that.
Yeah, you might just do that. I think I would buy it. I'd buy it if you wrote such a book. Now, here we're going to focus on African-American tradition in this show. So let's talk about healing from what goes on in Black American folk magic. Now, I'm going to stop before I forgot to say this at the outset. Folks, we do not practice medicine, nor are we going to prescribe medical things, nor are we going to recommend that magic act as a substitute to getting a proper medical diagnosis and treatment plan. End of disclaimer. Okay, onward. How do you work with healing when someone comes to you for a medical condition, or possibly including a psychiatric condition, but, you know, physical conditions in hoodoo? How do you work with that?
Well, the first thing that I ask, of course, is what you just said. I ask, are you seeing a doctor? Have you been seen by a doctor or specialist? And many times the answer is yes. You know, I've been seeing my doctor, but nothing he's doing is working or anything like that. And if the person says no, I will not work for them or with them until they are seeing a doctor or some kind of specialist, because I think that you really have to address, you have to work in the physical world as well as the mystical world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's only the responsible thing for someone to find a good doctor. And the thing is that people are often intimidated by the medical system. So I could, and I do, when someone says, oh, I can't find a doctor, or I don't know, I don't understand him, and I'm afraid of doctors, or I don't like them, I will say, well, why don't we, you know, do some work to draw the perfect doctor to you,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
To draw the best and highest healers to you. Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez is a, you know, a saint of doctors, and he can mm-hmm. really help draw to you the perfect doctor or specialist that can help you. If someone is already working with a doctor, I will like to do readings to see, one, if the treatment that they're currently undergoing is effective. And I will often address things first by a cleansing. I really do believe that illness can leave a negativity, kind of like a film on somebody. And so I really believe that with healing magic, you have to attack it from a couple different ways. The first is through cleansing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cleansing and uncrossing. And yes, illness, you could look at an illness as a cross condition, but for our purposes, you know, I think of it more of like cleansing the illness away. You're
mm-hmm.
breaking the hold that the illness has on you. And mm-hmm. then you want to bless. And bring goodness and healing and health to the body. So blessing is the best way to do that, in my opinion. And then the last thing is to protect, because now that you've got your blessings on you, you want to protect that. You want to keep it from going away. So
mm-hmm.
I think that those are the three basic ways. And also, you know, when I attack healing, I try to find the root cause. You know, if someone comes to me and they're like, well, you know, I can't get my diabetes under control. You know, my
mm-hmm.
sugars are terrible. I
mm-hmm.
would say, well, and, you know, as a nurse, I'm qualified to give this kind of advice. I would not advise anybody who's not in the medical field to do this. But I would like, you've got to look at the whole person. I'd say, well, let's look at your diet. Let's see, you know, are you having trouble resisting craving? And if they're like, oh, yeah, well, I'm like, let's do some, you know, crown of success and some strengthening work to get you to get the courage and the commitment and the willpower to follow your
mm-hmm.
diet properly or to take your insulin or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can always empower people, and I think that empowering people to take care of their own health and not feel like a fatalistic attitude, I think is extremely effective in healing work.
What you just said is wonderful. We're talking about spells to resist cravings for bad diet, spells to empower you to succeed in your medical plan. These are great. That's wonderful. What if somebody comes up with a card reading that says this illness was caused by being crossed up?
Well, in that case, you know, I think that the stuff that I described earlier definitely holds. You want to, I would recommend in that situation, I would do an uncrossing and then I would do a reversing, because you deserve to have that stuff reflected back to whatever or whoever sent it to you. So in that instance, I would say, let's do some uncrossing. Let's get you healthy and protected first, and then we'll do some reversing work. Or, you know, you can even nail them down. You could nail down whoever is hurting you. You know, freeze them in the freezer cellar, nail them down. Get yourself a railroad spike and a Sharpie marker and write down, you know, all my enemies or all those who send illness to me, write it on the spike and then nail it into the ground. Then you're nailing them down. You nail down that illness.
So I want to understand here that the order of this is, if the illness is caused by crossing, you're saying protect the person first to stop it.
Yes, get them uncrossed and then get them protected and then
Okay, so first uncross, then protect, then nail the sender down, then get the cure, and then reverse everything on the other person.
Yes, absolutely. You can. Now, you don't have to follow it in that exact order. If you really feel like if you find out that the nailing them down can stop the person and neutralize it, you can stop there. If you feel like you have to go whole hog and do it all, then certainly do it all. Nine times out of ten, you know, it's been my experience that people who want to send curses or think that they're going to do big bad voodoo on somebody, then they don't have the wherewithal to sustain that. It's been my experience that people who curse, people who send trouble, people who send illnesses, it's kind of like they blow their magical wad, as it were, and then they're done. They don't have, they don't sustain it. It's not a continuous thing. So if someone's been hit with an illness or some kind of condition like that, it's, you know, usually a cleansing and a protection will be enough to get rid of it, because the other person is just like, they're not doing a continuous curse. However, in situations like family, where family members could be sending illness and curses, you may, of course, have to do reversing or nailing down work. But, you know, divination will definitely tell.
So, Ollie, what do you think of all this? You haven't spoken up yet.
This is beautiful. I think what Mary said about, Mary B. said about people who tend to curse, and tend to curse quite frequently, generally aren't, and in my experience as well, particularly good at it, you know. So that's a very important fact there. The other thing that I wanted to add to this discussion, and if you can pardon me for getting a little bit meta, for me, conjure work and hoodoo is healing at its core. And it goes really to the idea of African-American spirituality and culture that draws directly from its Congo roots. The idea is that your natural state as an individual is to be blessed, happy, successful, prosperous, with lots of abundance and plenty. When something is missing, when there's a lack, it is an illness and it needs to be healed. And that's why we're called root doctors, conjure doctors. Because at the end, whether we're healing a person's body or spirit, it's all healing. And they're tied together. It may be a love situation. For me, I see, for example, reconciliation as healing work. Even sometimes reversing and crossing work are forms of healing. It's the surgery that removes the cancer, the hospital that removes the cancer in the person's life. So for me, when I say, when we think of the topic healing, and I know it's a bit meta, I go, for me, I'm thinking all of these different things are a form of healing. But specifically, talking about the type of healing that's been brought up, for me, the mind, the body, and the spirit are intimately tied together. So if a person's spiritual life is in a degraded state, their physical health will be impacted. And I think that's very, very important, and that's why the way I work is always in tandem with things that are meant to be done on the body. So not just, for example, lighting candles. This person has to actually bathe to remove whatever is on their body. They have to actually go around their house and do cleansing, and also maybe prescribe the teas. I am a big fan of herbal teas as forms of cleansings and purifications, in addition, of course, to working with a medical practitioner or a mental health professional. I never would substitute that. But for me, healing is very holistic. It's about all of it going together. I don't view it as I'm working on the spirit and the doctor's working on the body. I view it as both of us are working together on the person.
Right. I gotta step in with this because you nailed it completely. Root doctor. A root doctor is a person in the Black community who does doctoring, and doctoring does not only mean curing the spirit. In a lot of the New Age and white pagan neo-hoodoo people, they think, oh yeah, it's all about a spiritual path and blessings and journeys and all that stuff. But it's not. When I was young, I went to a guy and I was having a little trouble in school. I was being bullied and stuff. And I mean, he just told me, devil shoestring, wrap it up, put it in whiskey, drink the whiskey. He was giving me medicine. Okay. He was a root doctor. He gave me medicine. The situation, the condition was a social condition, not a spiritual condition, not a medical condition. It was a social condition, but he gave me a medically active tincture to drink. Okay. So these are important things, very important aspects that root doctoring includes, both medical and spiritual aspects to it that are integrated in a way you just don't see it in every culture. We know about the Appalachian herb doctors, or when I was in the Ozarks, they used to call them yarb doctors. And yarb doctors will give you yarbs, in other words, herbs, for medication. They'll have teas and things like that. And many of them come out of the Native American repertoire because, of course, the Native Americans were here with our native plants first, and they already knew when the white people came over and the Black people came over as slaves, they said, well, here are our plants. So there was a lot of use of Native American herbal medicine among white pioneers and country people, and also among Black country people. However, the way that the yarb doctors prescribed, they would not say, you wouldn't go to them, I'm being bullied in school. You see what I mean? That was not something a yarb doctor would treat, but a root doctor would. And that's one of the big differences between Black hoodoo and white Appalachian folk magic, yarb doctoring, whatever. And these differences show us a different attitude, a different relationship to what is healing. I would say that I've never been to a spiritual practitioner healer in the Black community who did not in some way call upon Jesus, God, the Bible, something. I mean, often use of holy oil and, of course, the use of teas. Now, but they might not just use holy oil. They might use uncrossing oil. They might use their own form of oil, a blessing oil or a healing oil. And there are many recipes for those. And that is so interesting to me that is being, is people on the Internet are like kind of snatching at hoodoo's fringes, and trying to touch the hem of its garment. They don't see that the doctoring part is part of it. And what you said, Mary, that really what your aim is to bring them into wholeness, into whole healing. And so, and being a nurse yourself, and Ms. Melanie posted in chat, she's also in the medical professional, and I know a number of other root doctors who are medical professionals. This is no lie. They have, one of them is Mama Hen. She's a nurse, too. They have a background in the healing arts, and they will bring that knowledge. Now, they may be able to diagnose a little bit more than a layperson like me would, and they're a little bit more, able. Another one is Lukianos. He has medical training. And Paul Maxson, he calls himself Maxson Paul, in the chat room said he's a pharmacist. Yes, I mean, this is very common, very common.
Yes,
all right.
Pharmacist.
And even places like Harry's Occult, one of the oldest Jewish-founded, serving the hoodoo Black community in Philadelphia since 1912, it was originally Harry's Pharmacy. And so you went in to get your medical condition taken care of with the over-the-counter drugs. I mean, he was a pharmacist, you know. But in those days, things were a little more loosey-goosey as to what was over-the-counter. But he also then could prescribe for you root work. And now Harry's is Harry's Occult. It's no longer a pharmacy. One of the reasons for that and the breaking of what Ollie calls the natural alliance between root doctors and local pharmacies.
Yep.
The reason for the breaking of that is the FDA came down and said you can't practice medicine without a license, right? So they tried to break the root doctors off from their medical practice. And then they even went so far, there were prosecutions that were carried out against root workers and people like Dr.
Yes.
E.P. Reed in Philadelphia. He was an herb doctor. He had the Indian Medicine Company. He made hoodoo products like, you know, Hindu devil chaser incense and you name it, jinx breakers and all sorts of things like that. But he also sold medical herbs and was a good prescriber of medical herbs. But he also had to break it off, couldn't ship across state lines, had to be sure who he was shipping for because they would catch him for not having a pharmacy license.
Yeah, that was actually a, that was the big charge or legal hurdle that root doctors faced was practicing medicine without a license or prescribing medicine was one of the things that they often had to face in court. That was the accusation.
Right.
A lot of anthropologists actually argue that this was an attempt to suppress locally what was seen as magical practices, but there wasn't, for example, anti-witchcraft law in the city or in the state, and so they used the medical angle to kind of suppress that. There's actually a really good, there's a whole history behind that.
Yes, there is. And Nagashiva in the chat room says, medical institutions struggling against folk remedies is longstanding. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Kali Mojo Girl Zero says, FDA doesn't like Chinese traditional medicine either. That's for sure. Now, what has happened more recently, since the Civil Rights Movement, really, is that although most hoodoo root doctors kind of lost that war, you know what I'm saying? The Chinese
mm-hmm.
traditional medicine people were so underground, and then they kind of came out and they said, hey, we want to look at this. So the FDA has a new rule, which is a little label that says the FDA has not evaluated this substance for blah, blah. And it's just a little disclaimer. And they'll put that on things. But in a way, it's almost too late for the root doctors because they have become more averse because of prosecution to healing work. So we all hear about, oh, my boyfriend left me and I need my ex-husband back and those people on the job treat me lousy and I need to win the lottery and all that. That's what hoodoo is, right? Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
Hoodoo has always included things like, I have a facial tic. What can I do?
Yes.
You know, there's
mm-hmm.
tingling in my feet. What do I do? And a good root doctor will say, let's work hand in glove with a medical doctor. I would say a shady one will take the job on without experience and knowledge. And I'm just going to leave it at that. There have been shady ones. I'm not speaking up for every practitioner, having been honest, over the course of the last 200 years. But a good one will know the difference. I'm going to tell you one of the theory I have, and I throw this out a lot. When someone curses you with an illness, they can't just make you drop dead. It's not that easy because you have your own life force, you know, and you want to fight that off. So they say, well, I'm going to just, unless they can, you know, have you flip your truck and die, they're going to say things like, let's get him hardening of the arteries and he'll die in 5 to 10 years, right? Well, by the time you go, hey, my arteries are hardening and my enemy is cursing me, it may be too late for you to just have a uncrossing and a curse reversal on that artery's hardening. You're going to have to go take some medication and maybe even have a surgery, okay? So once a curse has been put upon you in a medical system of your body, your lymph system, your kidneys, your blood, your heart, whatever it may be, your lungs, you still have to get the medical stuff to undo what would be a long time, what we call goofering, make you go down
yeah.
in condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I always work with the doctors, hand in glove with the doctors. I think it's very important. And I always empower people to do their own healing. And I always say, if nothing else, if you go to a root doctor and say, I need healing, and it's all going to be, you know, light forces and Reiki, but you ain't gone to a root doctor. I mean, a root doctor can do Reiki. There, I mean, I know Reiki's real popular. I know maybe
15%. Yeah, I'm a Reiki master myself.
Yeah, of course.
So.
Yeah, I know you are. And I'd say about 15% of root doctors that I know right now are Reiki masters. But Reiki is not the same as, you know,
can't
giving you...
can't take the roots out of root doctoring.
You can't take the roots out of root doctoring.
Oh,
that's
sure.
Yeah, right, right. So it's kind of a combination. And again, I don't know I don't know too many root doctors who don't do some sort of hands-on healing. Kai Armand taught that great little workshop on that in 2013 at the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church's festival. He showed different forms of hand-on healing, foot washing, hand washing, blessing the head, you know, whisking, spraying, all those things. He demonstrated them all. Those are all traditional root doctor healing modalities, we could call them, that do not involve roots. They involve hands-on work of some sort. Well, I'm just I could talk about this for hours, you know.
It's been an excellent topic, it really has.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
You know, there it's a, you know, as Nagashiva says, it's a large topic, and you know, I'm going to just officially announce here. I'd like to just see if we just keep on going for a few more minutes and cut us down to two callers, because I really think there's more here to say, and it's not a topic we have ever addressed before, and I would like to point out another thing. Okay, one of the traditions of African medicine, which has been retained in African-American root doctoring, is the use of caustic and toxic substances.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? One of the traditional, let's put it this way, the defining traditional healing modality of Cherokee medicine is the vomiting cure. That's what it's called by anthropologists, the vomiting cure. Cherokee believed that many things could be gotten rid of, and that they believed that illness was put in the body and it could be gotten rid of by vomiting. You know, the white people in North Europe, they all bled you. You know, Cherokees liked you to vomit. Different people have different things that they think are going to be good. Break you into a sweat is another one you'll find. Some people have you break into a sweat. These are all ways of kind of jump-starting the body's systems. So both of the Cherokee and the African methodologies kind of have combined to a certain extent. Mary B., a laxative. That's correct. A laxative.
Yep.
And another one, and that's an old, you see now, laxatives are very common among Appalachian root doctors, herb doctors. And laxatives are very, very common in the Ozarks, too. Clean your system out. Senna, says Miss Melanie. She knows this stuff. She's from Tennessee. And red-haired mystic says sweat lodges. Same thing, diaphoretic. That's what I was going to, get you to sweat. So all of these things are ways of trying to jumpstart your system. A good black American root doctor or trained in hoodoo root doctoring styles should know about these things, should know about a laxative, a diaphoretic, a vomiting cure, all of those things, okay?
Even on the spiritual level, not just things that are taken internally, but externally, we find that, for example, in the use of a bath, the similar concept of kind of purging out is used, not just in the sense of cleansing. We prescribe cleansing baths. A lot of times we look at things that are herbs that are all about purifying and cleansing. But some of the old, you know, herbal baths that were used, so this is, we're talking about spiritual healing versus taking in something internally that's a laxative or a purgative. But even some of those spiritual baths often included something that agitated, that had a purgative quality. So you, for example, would have vinegar, or you would have a little bit of pepper in your bath. But we don't think of pepper in a cleansing bath very often. But that was actually quite a common. Now, don't go around putting so much pepper in your bath that you're now stinging your eyes and your various orifices. Common sense, people. But when I was growing up, one of the most common cleansing baths, when someone had thrown roots on you, involved putting cayenne pepper or red pepper in your bath. You know, that was part of it. So the idea of purifying and purging, that type of very, very African and very Native American idea of healing modalities is also applied even on a spiritual level. So that not only are you taking it internally, but you're also cleansing yourself that way by agitating and purging.
Yeah, fighting fire with fire on one sense.
Yep.
And the other good thing, the good thing about baths that have edible, you know, somewhat, if you're careful and if you make a healing bath with edible herbs in it, you can also drink some of it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Just to talk to the spiritual aspect of that, people will bathe with hyssop tea that they have made and also drink some of that hyssop tea to cleanse inside and out.
Yep.
And I'm going to just throw out another one. Old remedy that I was told that you can take a silver dime. Now, this was back when I was young, and all the dimes, well, they weren't when I was young. They were still silver. And now they're not. But you take a silver dime, and you file the ridges off of these. It's called the reading. It's the little edges on the dime, and you file all those off. The dime is just left over. You don't do nothing with that. And you take those ridges from the dime that you filed up, and you boil them up in milk. And let the silver settle out. You don't drink the silver. You let it settle out, and you drink the milk. And then you can save the silver and do it again. But I talked to a lot of people about that, and I thought, well, what's this so magical? Because silver is magical, protects against witchcraft, right? It's very old that silver protects against witchcraft. So I talked to one old lady about this, and I said, well, what do you think that the silver dime ridges do? She goes, well, they cleanse you out. She goes, you know, but if they have worms, she says, you just have them eat some whole chopped up, peeled garlic cloves. So, and anybody who's ever known about garlic as a cure for worms, that works too. So she'd have them peel a garlic clove, chop it to expose the, you know, quarter spaces, and then take that with the silver dime milk. So that was mixing two modalities, you know. Yeah, and Professor Ames reminds us to say to everybody, because we all know this, but we didn't mention it, and thank you, Professor Ames, John the Conqueror is a laxative, well-known, famous laxative.
Very strong laxative.
A very strong laxative, that's right. And John the Conqueror, they're used to, even these old hoodoo shops, they would carry things like African herb mix and things like that, and they would have John the Conqueror in them, small amount, they wouldn't put too much, they'd put more senna in. You know, that it's a little milder laxative. And those things like that, they might put in, you know, a little bit of everything that's a mild laxative. But those are used for cleansing and then for strengthening you again, you know. Yeah, very, very important aspect. All right, well, now we've even run over more. I could go on this all day because, as Aura Marie in the chat room knows, hi, Aura Marie, big hugs and kisses to you. Aura Marie is expecting a little Aura Marie. We wish her big kisses and love. But she is an herbologist and graduate of our course. She's on the Lucky Mojo Forum all the time. Aura Marie and I are about the only ones I know who've been able to have hot and heavy, hours and hours long discussion on herbology and its relationship to hoodoo. And wonderful stuff. And she says that what you're doing when you do that is it's really more than a laxative at that point. You've taken magical materials that are laxative and combined them in a magical way. Pray over them. Use them, you know, for your spiritual healing. Very
true. The medicinal, the herbal and the magical blend right together.
Yeah. And she mentions that John the Conqueror goes beyond a laxative to being a cathartic, and that is true. You gotta shave that stuff fine. That's a strong one.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, all right, let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee and see if we can get some callers in, if we don't just talk herbology all day. But thank you, everyone in the chat room, for contributing. You guys have been really great. And as it says to the Bible, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Okay? Look it up in your Bible. All right.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'm sorry, Miss Kat. I thought you were rolling it right on over. Are we ready for break?
We are ready for you, baby.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjamin Ali, and this week's special guest, Mary B., will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or by telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to our first client, and our first client is calling in from area code 413. This is Laura calling in from Western Massachusetts. Laura, are you there, caller?
Yep, I'm here.
Great. I'm going to go ahead and hi, welcome so much to the show, and thank you for joining us this evening. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you have never been on the radio show, that actually you have spoken with Ms. Kat, and you are one of the Hoodoo Correspondents course members, okay? But you have no history with any other readers or root workers, okay? And she writes, I have had long-standing disabilities, but my current level of incapacitation was triggered by toxic mold exposure in the building where I worked. Finances were always tight. I have been completely ruined by out-of-pocket medical expenses. My friends have been persistent in encouraging me to seek personal injury legal help since I became so ill due to the negligence and refusal to act by the landlord. Would this course of action be effective, and how can I best approach the situation? Turning it back over to you.
Wow. Well, since this is a great question for this show. I love it the way they kind of line up like that. I would do the first reading and we go on from there, but I'm just going to skip, and I'm going to, because this one is right up Mary B. And Ollie's angle here. Mary B., you do a reading on this one, okay?
Okay. Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
All right. We're almost neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Well, here are the cards that I pull here, and this is interesting because the first one is the Eight of Swords, and this one shows a woman tied and bound, surrounded by swords. So, yeah, I'm so sorry that this happened to you because this is not a good situation. Mold is extremely toxic and can be one of those things that if it isn't taken care of quickly, it can really, you know, turn into something very bad and they have to pull walls out of apartments and stuff like that. So was your landlord, I assume that you let him or her know about the problem and they refused to do anything about it. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I worked a few hours a week at a small art store, and my boss let the owner know. And he gave us a can of Lysol.
Oh, that's
a can of Lysol.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The next card that I get is the Page of Pentacles. This shows me that you are going to be financially remunerated for this. It's somebody holding up a coin. But the thing is the page is young. He's a young man standing in a field holding this coin. And so this proves to me that this is all still in kind of the beginning stages. It's the sense that you haven't gotten everything together that you need to get together in order to get the money and the help that you need, okay? Have you hired an attorney at all?
No.
Okay, because the last card is Justice, and this is good. This shows to me that if you hire a lawyer, it will be successful and you will get what you're after. I would go for taking pictures. Can you take pictures and keep records of all of the mold? Have you done that?
We're out of that space, but my boss did take pictures.
Okay, good. Make sure
you have access to those pictures.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay.
Good. Yeah, make sure you hold on to those or get a copy of them. And I would take them to a lawyer. I would especially go to a lawyer that specializes in tenant and landlord law. You can look in the phone book for someone. But I'm seeing an older man with white hair and kind of horn-rimmed glasses, and he's in a practice by himself. He's like a small business lawyer, like that's his business, is just him by himself. But I would look for someone that's going to be the one who will help you.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to do is see if Ollie has a good reading on this one. I'm going to go to the root work, and we'll see about that, okay?
Yeah.
Ollie, can you do a quick reading on this one?
Certainly. I'm just going to add something very briefly because I was using my ring to scry as Mary B. was doing her reading and Tammy Lee was reading the situation. I definitely agree with Mary B. here that you do have a legal case. However, the one thing that I do need to emphasize here is that I have a boulder that is rolling, but it is rolling up the hill very, very slowly. This is going to move slowly, so you need to be prepared for something that may be a little bit drawn out, okay? More importantly, you need to get the ball rolling. You need to get those photos right away. You need to start looking for a lawyer immediately. This isn't something that you can put off for very long. The longer you put it off, the harder this is going to be to get moving. If you want to get this going on a practical, you know, basis and going immediately, if you can call up a lawyer within the week, do so. Even if it's just to get some preliminary suggestions and ideas, start doing that. I also get a sense that you may find this lawyer or this attorney or this person that will be your helper through a referral. So either a friend, a colleague, a family member, someone who, like, you know, I've heard of this lawyer. They may not have worked directly, but they're the person that's going to connect you. There is going to be a linking up with this person. This is going to be the key to your success. You want to do work aimed at sweetening the lawyer to you to make them really be an advocate for your case. If you do that, I think that you'll be in the right hands and root work will help you. So my reading is agreeing with Mary B., but ultimately saying you need to get this done and you need to get this done now because I'm getting a sense that as time is progressing, you may be running out. You may be reaching that point where you're just at the edges of really pursuing this legally. And if you wait any longer, you are going to let that window pass, okay? And let's turn this over to Ms. Kat to see what type of root work suggestions she can give you.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna say something that's going to sound like it comes out of left field. Both of them talked about time passing, Page Pentacles, and he's talking about rolling a boulder uphill. I know who you are, Laura Gale. If you're the Laura Gale I think you are, you are student number 112 in my course out of 1,890 students.
And that sounds about right.
And you never turned in any homework.
Yep.
Zero. And you failed. You failed as a student. After 5 years, I can't, you know, I'm just like, what? Now, you can turn in your homework and graduate, but what I see here, I mean, love you. I love you. But a pattern of procrastination, okay? So I'm seeing hand-waving, and I'm worried about that, that you're just going to say, oh, I had this incapacitation. It was triggered by toxic mold, and I've had these expenses, and my friends have been encouraging me to seek personal injury legal help, but you haven't done it. And both Mary B. and all these readings, and they don't know you. You see, like I know you. They're like, there's some, like, getting the ball rolling thing going, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'm going to tell you to do, sweetheart. I do want you to think about the role of procrastination in your life. They both gave you really good advice, and I would like to see that in addition to seeking justice, and you may be able to win some on this. I don't think you're going to make a huge settlement and live on disability the rest of your life, but I think you may get some settlement on it, and at least get your out-of-pocket medical expenses taken care of. I think you can do it. But you need to also set a light for casting off that condition of procrastination, right? Okay? Now, you've called it long-standing disabilities and your current level of incapacitation. When did this thing happen?
The mold, we finally figured it out in August.
Of this year?
Yeah, but I've been dealing with, we finally found out I've been dealing with chronic Lyme for over 20 years.
Chronic Lyme for over 20 years, yeah, all right. Are you currently under treatment for Lyme disease?
Yes.
Okay. And you've had, like, the Borrelia test, and they, you know, or have you not?
Yeah, they finally found it after the mold.
Okay. That, this is a whole, I mean, we could go into Lyme and, you know what I'm saying. I know because you've walked the path, and I have friends who've walked the path, and it's a serious path. And a lot of the doctors for a long time thought it was hypochondria. And, we gave you some antibiotics. You should be over it by now, but you're not, right? You got spirochetes running around in you. Okay. I hear that. And that shows me that you're weaker, you see what I'm saying, because of the Lyme. But it also is going to weaken your intentionality, too. So I want you to do some strength building. Now, you're a student in my class. I don't have to give you a spell, baby, because you got a whole book of instructions. But I'm going to give you something to do. I want you to do a spell to open your roads to make you walk down the path you want to walk down. And you can pick any number of roads you want to walk down in the order that you want to do it and get a little candle for each thing. I want more health. That might be a pale blue candle. I want more spiritual activity. It might be a white candle. I want more money. Whatever it is, you just get a candle for every condition. If you only come up with one condition, I just want health, then just get one. A little blue candle. Not a dark blue, a little pale blue candle would be fine. Tea light, anything like that, okay? That is the goal that you want to go to, okay? I want you to take a route to represent you, and in this case, John the Conqueror route, okay? And I want you to hold that root in your hand for at least an hour before you start this spell. Just hold that root in your fist. Your hand will get tired. And you're going to hold it to your heart as often as you can. If you want to pray on it for a whole hour, you can. Some people just walk around holding it and pray on this. This root strengthened me. Now, whatever part of your body. I said hold it to your heart. What if it's your abdomen that hurts? Hold it to your abdomen, right? You're going to be holding this root in your fist for at least an hour. You can put it over different parts of your body where you feel pain. Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your knees. I don't know. You're just going to hold that root. Then you're going to put that root down, and you're going to write your prayer. And you're going to start your prayer by thanking God. Lord, thank you for bringing me into the world, letting me have a life to enjoy here among the people under your bright sunshine and your pale, clear moonlight. Whatever it is you want to be thankful for. Thank you for my love. Thank you for my pets. Thank you for my whatever, my little niece and nephew, whatever it is. Now, Lord, I ask you to open my roads to find a clear way to the health I desire. Right? And you light that little candle, but it's going to be a ways away from that root. Now, you may dress that candle with healing oil, and you may dress that candle with any blessing oil. And some people will actually make a little path. The path can be of many different types of things. It might be graveyard dirt from a doctor's grave. It might be a little path made of healing sachet powders or healing incense powders. Whatever it is, you make that little path. And as that candle burns, you're going to be with it. So you're going to use a small candle, an hour candle, 15-minute candle, 20-minute candle, however long you want to pray. And you're going to move that route down that path, like opening your road toward that healing. When that root, eventually you approach it toward it, you're going to say a prayer every step of the way, at least 7 prayers, at least 9 prayers, but just keep on praying continually. Move that root down that little path you made, fold the road up with it. If you don't put a road, just draw a line or just think of a line and just go toward that candle. When you get to the candle, you pick that root up, and you're going to, the last flame of that candle, you're going to just hold that root over it and warm your hand, circle it, and just say, now, by this root, I am empowered to find my way to health. If it's to a lawyer, I'm empowered to find my way to a lawyer. Now, if you had several things, like you have a brown candle for a court case and you have a blue candle for healing, you can put them all out there together in a little cluster, right? And just run the root over them all. I seek a lawyer who will help me in my case. I seek a doctor who will help me in my healing. And just go over them. I seek a lawyer. I seek a doctor. I seek friends. Whatever it is I seek, right? I seek self-power. And now you have an empowered, really worked up root. You can dress that root with that same oil or whatever your condition is. John the Conqueror gives you power, just power to conquer, to do what you want. Breakthrough blockages, okay? That's what I would like you to do. All right?
Sounds good.
All right. Now, when are you going to turn in your homework, baby? That's serious question.
No, I know. I will get it to you in 9 months.
9 months. All right, we're going to write that right down. What's 9 months from now? December to January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. September 2014. All you guys remember that now. I'm writing it down. Promise to
my best friend is listening.
All right. And, you know, you can start with just the simplest little thing, petition paper. Remember, I just told you how to write that prayer out. Oh, with that little prayer, if you write it on a piece of paper, that's another nice thing. You can wrap the root up in a piece of paper if you want to. And some people would just take the paper and burn it in the last flame of the candle. All right. I put in here, promised her homework, and now you're going to do it, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, and good luck to you, baby. And I really do, you know, I do miss our little friendship, but what happens to those students who never turn in homework, they get afraid of me, you know. They won't come around me because they know I'm going to call them out. But I call you out with love and respect, you know. You've been through hard times. You've been through hard times. I hear that. But you'll get that homework done, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Thank all of you.
All right. Good luck. All right, let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go ahead and go back to the phones, and we're going to go ahead and take our next client. Our next client is Dee. Dee is calling in from area code 818 in California. Dee, are you there, caller?
I am, yes. Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you're a loyal listener as of 2013 for about the last 6 months or a little bit more, and that you have not yet gone to any other Readers or Root Workers from AIR. And she writes, I was laid off from my job, a company that I had worked for 5 years in September of 2012. The layoff came as a huge surprise to me, but I was lucky in that I found another job shortly after. However, I had experienced some things that at the job that were unpleasant and very emotionally difficult on both a professional and a personal level. When the layoff happened, I was given no answers as to why, except that it was downsizing. I never found out why my particular job got cut out and if there were more sinister factors at play. My question is, why was I laid off? Whose decision was it to lay me off, and why? Was it my boss or the vice president or someone else? There are three people who I would love to get a reading on and see if they might have had something to do with my layoff. And she lists their names as Christy, Dana, and Rob. Turning it back over to you.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to do the first reading on this one. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, it's hard when something like this happens because there's always that question of, you know, where did this come from? And was this just business as usual? Was there something sinister? Was there something spiritually sinister? And I understand. You got a lot of questions here. I don't know if we can cover them all in this brief time, but let's just give it a try. All right. So I'm just going to do three cards, and on the whole question, right, if we have time, we might do a little, someone else might do a little reading on Christy, Dana, and Rob, okay? First card I have is the Ace of Pentacles. Well, that says to me it was a part of it was about money, because that's a hand coming out of a cloud holding a big coin. It's an over a garden. Inside the garden there are little lilies. They're all white, tender, fragrant lilies, and around it the garden is a hedge of red roses with briar thorns, and there's a little gate that leads out out into the wild world. Money was an issue, and it may be that this does open a path to you. Although it has been hurtful to be laid off, it may open a path to you into another area of life that's bigger and better for you. Time to stop being inside that cocoon or that garden that shielded you. It's an interesting card because it says to me that they presented money as the reason. Now, let's just look a little deeper, okay? The next card is Queen of Swords, okay? Well, you listed three names, Christy, Dana, and Rob. Is Dana can be both a man or a woman's name. Is Dana a female or male?
She's
in this case?
She's a woman.
So we've just cut Rob right out of the situation, okay? We got Christy and Dana, because here's the Queen of Swords. She's a lady who sits on a throne. She's compassionate. With one hand, she beckons, come here, come here. With the other hand, she holds a sword. It was a hard-made decision. This was not, I don't think, a personal vendetta. It was a hard, thought-out decision. I think they had to do it, but she had to make a cut, and she is the lady who could do it. So I don't know which one this describes better. It's a woman who has a lone bird over her head, makes decisions on her own sometimes, not real friendly, open, maybe socially very engaging, but maybe single, maybe older. We sometimes call her the same as the Queen of Spades. She can even be a widow woman. The Queen of Spades and the Queen of Swords can be a married woman, but she tends to be a little hard-headed and on her own, a thinker. She thinks a lot. She has the waxing moon and the waning moon and butterflies all over her throne. The waxing moon and the waning moon is she's always balancing dark versus light, increase versus decrease. She's the one who did it, so it wasn't Rob. Let's see what the next card is. Next card. Well, that's interesting, too. The next card is called the Chariot. Chariot shows a man in a chariot, which is all ornamented and decorated. He has the waxing moon and the waning moon on his epaulets. He has signs of the zodiac on his belt. He has the signs of the asteroids on his little skirt. He has a star on his head. He has a canopy of stars over his head. And he's crossed a river, and he's gone beyond a little town. And he has two sphinxes, one black, one white. He has an emblem of a big wheel with an axle through it and a wheel with wings, a solar disk with wings on his chariot. One of these things it says to me is that time has passed. It may be fretting about this is a little bit past time. But let's go back to the actual thing and who these people are. This was someone who you were not connected up with as well as you might have been. And I'll tell you why. His little sphinxes that are supposed to draw his chariot, they're not hooked up to any reins or any traces of any kind. They have no double tree. They have nothing. They're just there, and he can't really move forward. They may have thought that you were not socially a team player to them. May I ask, I don't mean to pry, because we have a black sphinx and a white sphinx. Sometimes, not always, race or gender are an issue with this card. Could race or gender have played an issue?
I don't know. I mean, as far as I knew, no one was blatantly racist. I am ethnic, but, you know, I was born in the U.S., and as far as I knew, no one was blatantly racist towards me, so I don't know if that was a factor. I was one of the only females in that group other than Dana, and Dana was my boss. But, you know, she was a gay woman, and so I was the only straight, young female in that group, and I don't
and
know
you
if
said,
that was a factor.
You said ethnic. Can you define ethnic?
Uh-huh. I'm Armenian.
Armenian. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing gender, definitely, I'm seeing gender, possibly ethnicity, but it's not a skin color issue. I mean, you may be a little swarthy, right? But you're not, you know, a person of color, right?
Right.
Okay. I when I see this card, like I always say, it's an important thing. I have to ask, could race or gender have played a role? And you're telling me, yes, it's possible. So not a lot of females in there. One of the people that we've implicated possibly is a gay female. Let's just say that there may have been some lack of connection that could have improved your situation had you been connected on whatever level it is, okay? We're just going to leave it at that. There's something that you were easier to cut because of it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not that you were targeted because of it, but that for financial reasons something had to go, and you were the one to go because you were the less connected, all right? That's what I see, all right? Now, I'm going to turn this over to Ollie. Can you give a reading on this?
Certainly. I've done a geomantic reading just to kind of narrow down some of the things that you brought up. I fully agree with the reading you've given. It is right on point, because I also get the sense here One of the first things that we have when we look at the 10th house, which is of careers, is cursor. Cursor is a prison, it's a trap, it is restriction. And in this case, I don't sense this was done maliciously or this was done for personal reasons, so you may have taken it that way. It was done for purely professional reasons. There is a financial restriction here. There is a financial block that there, you know, it was done for money reasons. So that's the Ace of Pentacles that Kat got. It was a cold decision. It was a decision that was made because it had to be made. It was based on the organization. It was based on, you know, business needs ultimately. And that's what Cursor is telling me, that whether, you know, we are happy with it or not, it was a cold, calculated decision that had to be made. It was not made for a specific reason of, oh, we hate this person or we want to ruin this person. So this, my reading agrees with what Kat said. Now, who was it? For me, interestingly, it also comes down to a female, but looking at the projection of points here, which reveals the hidden factor, the letter that is revealed is D, so that's Dana.
Well, that was what I got, too, because it was the gay gal.
Yeah, so the D here...
We're going on with Dana here. Okay.
Yes, Dana is the prime reason that you got fired. Christy may have played a larger role than is believed, but I don't believe Rob had anything to do with it at all. But Dana is the main reason you got fired. But be aware that this was a decision that was made purely on business means. This is, you simply were part of the formula, part of the, you know, calculation. That's all. Now, the next thing that this reading says is kind of moving forward. We're looking into the future, and the future we look at is the Left Witness. It's Fortuna Maior. This is the larger fortune. This is actually going to work out in your favor, but only if you have the ability to kind of shake this off. I know being laid off is difficult. Losing a job at any time, whether you've worked there a year, 3 years, 5 years, is always difficult. Being laid off is difficult. But you weren't fired, you were laid off. It's something that happened. Now, pick up the pieces and move on. Know that this is going to work out in your favor. Fortuna Maior says that you will actually look back on this and go, this was a good for me, and that it will actually help you come into your own financially. I do sense that you are going to be fine, that you don't have to be particularly worried about this. My suggestion now is, now that you have a little bit of closure, you understand that it was Dana, you understand that this was not for personal reasons, that there was just a purely business decision, now move forward, because it is going to work out quite well for you. So that's what my divination is revealing to me, okay?
All right. And that kind of goes along with what I was saying about the Ace of Pentacles. In the end, you move beyond that little garden. And the Chariot, you move beyond that river, you cross that river. In the end, it's going to be all right. All right, let's turn it over to Mary B. What can you tell her to do to move past the pain and get another job quick and a better job and improve her business connections?
And if there's anything that comes up about this person, Rob, anything that you see that you guys could tell me, that would be super, super helpful.
We're not doing another divination. We've done the divination.
We can only focus on the business factor, the questions of you being laid off. If you want another reading about all three of these, we're going to have to do that's something completely separate. So let's just focus on what you can do to move on financially and business wise, and we can turn that over to Mary B.
Good.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
I'm going to recommend a mojo bag that you can carry with you, especially if you – have you been interviewing for new jobs?
I found another job after I was laid off. So,
okay.
Finding the employment wasn't the problem. It was just kind of not knowing if anyone may have done anything, I don't know, sinister or kind of stabbed me in the back or kind of threw me under the bus to get me laid off. Because I had a personal connection to all three of these people. You know, one was my boss, the other person was my friend, and there was my VP. So
okay,
it's just
okay, sweetheart, sweetheart,
factors.
Stop. Sweetheart, we're into the root work section. Do you want root work, or we can just stop here? We're not going to keep on reading. We don't read. Okay?
Sure.
Serious. You're recycling here. It's all about, now I want a reading on Rob. No, think about this. You got a reading. And I'm not trying to hurt you here, baby, but this is showing an emotional pattern, okay? Let Mary B. have her say, because this is, this is important.
This goes really to what I said in the reading. It's time to kind of let this go. And I know that you're hurt. I get it. I can hear it in your voice. You're kind of really worried about this. But our readings are letting you know, hey, it was not as bad as you think it was. Let this go. We pinpointed that it was a calculated decision. Now let's focus on things getting better. Let's turn this over to Mary B.
Well, I would recommend a mojo bag that you can carry, and I'm going to call this a three-root mojo bag because, you know, roots in general, like whole roots, are really good for boosting up your oomph, you know, your self-confidence and your power, your center of power, because what I think is that this incident really kind of, it kind of threw you off center. You're slowly coming back, and you will be okay, but let's give it a little boost right now. What I would recommend is that you make yourself a mojo bag, and in it you want to put a Queen Elizabeth root, a good-sized one. Don't put a tiny root in there, but a good-sized Queen Elizabeth root. Okay, you're going to want a John the Conqueror root, and you're going to want a Master root or pieces of Master root, because I know Master root can be kind of big, and you don't want to cram that all in one mojo bag. And you want to take these three things and put them in a red or a purple mojo bag, because purple is the color of mastery and success. And you want to recite Psalm 23 over it while you are making this bag. And you want to dress it either with whiskey or with Crown of Success oil, and you can get that at Lucky Mojo. And then if you want to smoke it in some incense, you can use frankincense, which is a good old oomph booster, or you can get some Crown of Success incense. And you may also want to get some Queen Elizabeth root incense and mix that with Crown of Success incense and then smoke it in there. You can also, after smoking the mojo bag, you can burn the Crown of Success and Queen Elizabeth root incense together and just like smoke yourself with it, smoke your house, and that way you will be dressed for success. And I would carry this mojo bag with you. I would sleep with it, you know, put it under your pillow, and you want to pray, talk to it, because it's now a living being. You want to say, I want you to give me success and build me back up and bring me success in my new job, success in finances, and that's what I would recommend you do.
That's a beautiful thing. And you know what's interesting? Those three roots are, each of them, we have an incense for them. John the Conqueror has an incense, Queen Elizabeth root has an incense, and Master root has Master incense. And they do make a very, very good blend. Not too many people know about this, but what you said something that really hit on it, and they are quite different, to combine with a Crown of Success. That's a beautiful, I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. That's a good one. All right, honey, I hope we helped you.
One really quick thing is, and this came up in your geomantic reading, and I didn't want to say anything, but you kind of bring in questions over and over again. I'm sensing that there was a work relationship of some sort going on. We can't give you a reading on that, but shoot me a private email because something came up in your geomantic reading that I don't want to publicly say. I don't want to say it on the radio, otherwise.
Okay. But how would I reach out to you, Ali?
Just email me at drraven@thechondraman.com because it's a bit of a sensitive issue, so I don't want to. But there's a work relationship question there, right?
Okay, I'll email you after we get off this call. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. And I hope I wasn't rough there. I just had to make it go in the direction that we are here for, okay? All right. Well, our next thing will be our free spell. So let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she'll get us ready for that.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And, y'all, we have just about 6 minutes left in today's show. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is hosted each week by Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And now I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Mary B. of AIR and also of Mary B. Conjure.com in Sudbury, Massachusetts. And she'll be doing our free spell segment this evening of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Mary B.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm going to call this the four-way healing rites. This is a good one, especially for anybody who's dealing with chronic illness or an illness that just doesn't want to go away. So it's got four parts. The first part is that you want to get yourself some of the following herbs: self-heal, angelica, and lemon balm. Okay? You want to make a tea out of those. So you put those herbs, you can put them in a little muslin bag and get some water boiling, and you want to let those herbs steep in the boiling water for 7 minutes, okay? And you take out the herb bag, and you've got yourself a tea. You want to add that to a tub full of warm water, okay? And you want to bathe in it. And as you're bathing, you want to pray. You want to pray that all illness, all negativity be removed from your body in Jesus' name, amen, or however the heck you pray. Prayer, how you do it is not important. That you do it is important, okay? And you want to save a cup of that water, okay, a cup of the water that now has your essence in it, and you want to take that to a crossroads and throw it out of the crossroads. That takes that negativity out and disperses it into the world. The next part is you want to make your, now, and here's the other part, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, you want to save a pinch of those herbs, of the mixture, self-heal, angelica, and lemon balm. You want to set a bit of that aside because you're going to use it in a bit. The next thing you want to do is you want to make yourself an incense, okay? You want to get all of this together, and I might be going a little convoluted here, but you want to get all this together and ready before you actually do the bath, because you want to do all this first. The incense you're going to make is a mixture of sandalwood, myrrh, and angelica, okay? You can burn it on charcoal, on a charcoal briquette. Now, first you want to do the bath, and when you come back from throwing out the bath water, okay, you want to smoke yourself in that incense, okay? And as you are smoking yourself in that incense, you are standing in a triangle of tea lights, and these tea lights are dressed with olive oil. If you like, you can pray over the olive oil. You can pray the 23rd Psalm. That makes it blessed olive oil. So you want to dress each tea light in the olive oil, and you want to stand in that triangle, and you want to smoke yourself with the incense that I mentioned. And the last part, the fourth part, is you want to take those herbs that you saved, and you want to save some of the sandalwood, myrrh, and angelica incense, too. You want to save a bit of that. So basically, you're going to have six ingredients in the following mojo bag. So you take a mojo bag, and you take a pinch of all of those herbs, and you put them inside, okay? And you want to pray over it that as you carry this, you will have total health, total healing, and total success in all areas of your life. You want to close up that mojo bag and tie it, and you want to dress it with either healing oil, blessing oil, or 7-Eleven holy oil. And then you've got a nice mojo bag you can carry for healing.
Wow. All right. Thank you so much. That was very complicated, very long. Please post the ingredients for the mojo bag in the chat room.
Beautiful, though.
Sure, no
beautiful
problem.
All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Mary B. of MaryBConjure.com in Sudbury, Massachusetts, for being our special guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Marin Graves of MarinGraves.com in Grass Valley, California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You could find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. It was wonderful having you on, Mary B. I love your spell work, and I love your attitude toward helping people.
What a great discussion that you brought up.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Thank you, Ali, for being such a great cohort and companion. Mary B. has toasted it all. I'm going to read it real quick. Self-heal, Angelica, lemon balm, incense, sandalwood, myrrh, and angelica, bathed in the bath. Triangle, smoke yourself in the tea light, stand in a triangle, but with blessed olive oil. Use the leftover herbs and incense. Ah, the incense ingredients to make the Bojo bag. Okay, got it all. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll be here again next week, and I want to thank everybody for their love and affection, and see you all the next time we're here. Hey, good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Hoodoo Harvest Festival.